it's all public information, so you know, I guess the biggest reason why is we've never been asked to do it, and I never really thought about you know, putting it online. I figured it was all public information anyway.
Well, it is if somebody wants to request it. The difference, of course, obviously, on the self-serve if you have it online.
Sure.
And I don't think they're, my impression, I haven't studied it closely enough on that aspect, but I don't think they're doing it in advance. I think it's a after the fact, you know, sort of like accountability issue.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So after the day is over, they post the calendar?
I don't know how frequently they do because I just only recently started looking
sure.
at this.
Well, in we'll fact, definitely look into
like
it.
Like Chris Riley's one of the ones that does, but it's November, December's not even there.
I see.
So what I did is just look at 2010. What's going on in 2010?
Yeah.
I just thought that's sort of like a microcosm.
Okay.
And of course, what that indicates to me, those you know, the pattern of meetings is that y'all are spending a lot of time trying to coordinate, understand each other, mm-hmm. what you're doing. And on the surface, I guess what I'm saying is y'all are making a big effort to. And taking all the time for these meetings. My first line of questions is I'd like to know, you know, what sort of things do y'all talk about in these meetings, you know?
Well, we talk about whatever issue it is we're working on, obviously. And so the way it works is obviously a majority of us that can meet at any one time is only three.
Right.
And you typically have three council sponsors on any item that we put forward. But really, the process, I think, works very well in that we have a subcommittee process and we have a boards and commissions process. So there's a lot of public vetting. There's a lot of public input. There's a lot of board and commission suggestions and direction to council, all happening before it gets to us.
Right.
So during this time before it gets to the council meeting, I mean, we're watching and we're staying in touch and we're talking to each other about what's coming towards us. And,
okay.
And so it, you know, while it seemingly may look like we only meet once a week right before the council meeting, you know, on an agenda that has 150 items, we really have been talking about these items, you know, for some time as they're making their way down that pipeline to the council meeting.
Okay.
In other cases, we literally assign task force. So the mayor had a water conservation task force that came up with some solid recommendations on how to conserve and reduce our daily consumption.
Right.
Likewise, we have a task force put together on the Austin Energy Generation Plan. I mean, those are the kinds of ways we really deal with the broader and bigger policy issues.
Right.
And I think it's a good process. I find it very helpful. Sometimes people get frustrated because they say things take too long. And I get that. I get their frustration. But these decisions are impacting a lot of folks. And I think it's important for us to take as much time as necessary to make the right decision.
Can't argue with that.
And even if we take time, sometimes can people think we're still making the wrong decisions?
Well,
so.
You know, so you are. If you aren't pissing off half the people,
that's right.
Then half probably aren't doing.
Typically, it works that way. About half the room is not happy, no matter what we do.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, a lot of people view being on a city council or, you know, being the mayor is like a political graveyard for most people because they, you know, it's like you've made so many enemies.
Yeah,
you know,
it's tough. It really is tough. The state of politics has changed quite a bit, even since I got on the council.
Really? How so?
In my opinion, I think I think what you see is this level of reactionary response and high-toned rhetoric tends to be the order of the day, regardless of the issue. It's always been there to a certain extent. I was certainly a part of it when I was president of the firefighters, don't get me wrong. But now, I mean, I see it even more and more.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it falls in line with national trends of people getting frustrated with government, more and more frustrated with government.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we're an anomaly here in Austin, even though we are considered very progressive and liberal in some circles. you know, we're not immune to that same political pushback that's going across nationwide.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. When did you first start participating in these meetings with other council members and the mayor? You know, I don't, you know, having been out of the loop so long, I don't even know when the practice started.
You know, ever since I came on council, actually before I even got on council, once I was elected, that entire month leading up to the swearing in, I was in meetings constantly.
Oh, sure, getting prepared. But you weren't even sworn in yet. Mm. So you weren't a public official that had to worry about, you know, any accountability or for what you're doing. You were just going around getting snapped in. But so basically, ever since you started serving on the council,
the only thing I've known is there's a standard process of weekly one-on-ones with each council member and the city manager. This is the template. This is the standard template for every council office. Is you have at least one meeting a week with each council member and the manager. Now, outside of that template, depending on the issues you're working on, it can be multiple meetings with, you know, any combination of members of the council and or the city manager and or the city manager's staff. But usually as a standard format, those are the standing meetings we have once a week.
So it's just always been this way.
As far as I know.
And you got 2006, was it?
Yes, sir. May of 2006.
May of 2006. That's what I thought. I failed to go to the election history and look. okay. So I guess just in a succinct statement, what are the mayor and council members trying to accomplish, and the city manager, because he's involved in these too,
sure,
trying to accomplish by holding these round-robin meetings? For example, you know, one thing that comes to mind is maybe you don't want to have these big fights in public. You know, you get out there
Absolutely.
And you come to the meeting without thinking about these issues, maybe collectively. Then you come into the meeting and it gets into some kind of a
yeah.
You know, like when Eric Mitchell was on the council,
right.
When Ronnie Reynolds was on the council. Right. I mean, you know, there were some strong people, and I don't know if they were having any meetings coordinating events or not. I know Willie Lewis never did. God, he would go off on a tangent. You know, I remember one time he was down at the Austin Energy building holding a work session, and he got off. They were talking about tree trimming. He must have spent 45 minutes rant about tree trimming, the way he didn't like the program was being run. And Daryl got up from the table, and I had one of those folding tables for the press. You know, that's all they had. I don't know if they still do or not, but they had these folding tables, and the press would get the front table so they could hear. And Daryl came over and said to me, me and whoever else is at the table, he said, you know, I wish Willie had told us about that. Maybe I could help him out a little bit. But he was caught completely cold, so he didn't know.
Yeah, you know, and maybe it happened sometime after that. Maybe they realized that, you know, we need to sit down on a regular basis prior to public meetings. You know, Ken, I don't know this, but I have to assume this happens in other deliberative bodies like the legislature and county commissioner. And, you know, I can't imagine not having discussions and meetings leading up to a policy decision. I couldn't fathom that. We'd never get anything done here at City Hall. So I think the meetings are important, and we do talk about where our differences lie. If there are some strong feelings and strong differences, the time to air those out and figure those out are in our one-on-ones and,
uh-huh.
and not necessarily on the dais. We certainly, you know, reserve the right to change our mind or hold a stronger opinion on council day, but I think for the most part, we work very well together. Some issues we remain divided. Water Treatment Plant 4, big controversial issue. We can meet to death, and I think we're going to stay 4-3 on this thing, you know, all the way through. So that is a rarity. That's not the norm around here, but it does happen.
As I understand it, I mean, you're just looking at what's on those council members' agendas, and I hadn't even had a chance to study all of them. I've studied two of them pretty good. Are the meetings completely private, or do you have staff members in there to take notes or something?
It just depends on the meeting. They are They're private in the sense that they're usually in one of our offices.
Right.
But depending on the subject matter, so if my chief of staff is working on an issue and I'm working with Councilmember Shade, you know, he obviously has the most knowledgeable information. So Councilmember Shade brings in her aide working on the issue, I bring in mine, and we all four sit down and discuss it. And they tell us what they've researched, what they've come up with, what they've found in other cities. So it just depends on the subject.
Okay.
But yes, it can be just... Sometimes it's just me and another council member. Sometimes it's me and two other council members and all of our staff, you know. Sometimes it's me and the city manager and an assistant city manager and a department director. It just really depends on the issue and what we're talking about.
Okay. Do you take notes yourself about your conversations, with these conversations?
In fact, I do, Ken. And you know what? I've saved every single meeting note since I've been elected, since day one.
Wow.
I do, and this is the original book that I bought. All I do is I replace this and I timestamp it with the start date and the end date, and I have all of these books since the first day I got elected.
How many books do you have like that?
Oh, heck, I don't know.
Probably 10.
We're 6 years down the road.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. You know, I take notes almost at every meeting. There are some, you know, there are a bunch of meetings that I don't. But if I take notes, they're all in here, and I've saved every one of them.
Cool.
So I date them, and I put who they are with, and then I start taking notes, and then I refer back to them when I have subsequent meetings.
Long before I became a journalist, I was just a compulsive note taker. I don't know why. It's just my nature. So maybe that's one of the reasons I wound up in journalism.
I'm the same way. It helps me remember, what we discussed. Even if without referring back to it, I can remember what I wrote down. And I just think for me, it's important to have a record of who I met with and what we discussed and why and where the issues were.
Yeah.
That to me is really important.
Yeah, my memory's not that good.
Mine either.
I have this weird memory. You can say a word, and instantly I can come back with a song that goes with it, just a line, you know. Or we're watching a movie, and I'll say, look at that guy back there in the background, you know. He was such and such a guy in the such and such a movie. But a lot of times I'll forget a conversation I had with my wife.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, and something important.
Sure.
And I won't remember it. I don't know. It's just the peculiarities of my particular brain. Or lack of it. That's why I like to take notes, so I can refer back.
Yeah.
So I take it then that these private discussions do help you make up your mind about the position you're going to take on the things that you discuss. So like some hotbed issues come down line, like maybe the settlement of the, you know, that young man that was shot in his family suit.
Yeah, the Sanders case.
Sanders case, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I imagine a hot button issue like that would have to be something you might think about talking about.
You know, that one, because it was so controversial and so much in the public realm, it was really different. I mean, I was the only council member that put out a public statement 2 weeks prior to the council meeting. I really felt like it was important to state my position and state why I reached this conclusion.
Uh-huh.
So that the public could see it. Other council members chose not to talk about it till the day of. And to be quite honest with you, people did not know, including us on the dais, we did not know how some of our colleagues were going to vote until that very moment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's the rarity, but it did happen in this case. Because it was so controversial, and I think because it was a very hard decision to make. They wanted to literally wait until they heard all of the testimony and that day of the council meeting to make their final decision.
Uh-huh. Let's see if this thing's still running. I don't use a recorder on here that often. And it's
that's right.
I want to be sure it's still clicking away over there, doing whatever the hell it's supposed to do. Okay.
You know, there are some times when we meet and a council member will make a commitment on or just express that they're leaning a certain way on an item and then vote totally different on the dais. It could be because of new information, new testimony, just a total change of opinion since the last time we met. Again, that's the rarity, but it has happened. You know, obviously, every one of us reserves the right to make a decision that's different than what we talked about.
Sure.
when the time comes to vote. But in my opinion, I want my colleagues to know as much as they possibly can about where I lie on an issue, and the direction I'm leaning towards my vote. I don't want them to walk out of my office wondering, man, what's he thinking? What is he doing? Because I want us to be able to work together. And if we have differences, the only way we're going to be able to talk about them is for me to lay mine out on the table as well. And so I try to do that. I certainly try to do that in every case.
Okay. So the following thought, which is obvious after all that's been said already, is that these meetings must give you a better understanding of how other council members feel about the issue that you discussed.
They do.
Right? Yeah, okay.
A lot of times they do. But Ken, obviously, I would be remiss if I did not discuss what everybody knows that goes on, and that is sometimes you know or you intuitively have a feeling of where certain council members are going to lie on an issue, mm-hmm. so you don't tip your hand totally as to what you're working on or what your plan is, because they're probably going to be against it, or two, because,
So you might be playing a little poker in here.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody knows that goes on. And you know, we have to form coalitions. We have to gain the majority vote if we want our item to pass. And so there's some strategy that goes into that. If I can borrow President Bush's term.
That wouldn't be a good idea. He was good for... except for the war and everything, it was good for, it's like we say, you bring somebody to the party because they're always, the laugh of the party kind of thing, or good for.
So that stuff does go on. When I pick an item, I think about what the item entails. I think about what I know about my colleagues and where their passions lie. And I selectively go to the co-sponsors based on who I think, one, would want to co-sponsor, two, would be the best co-sponsor, and three, be knowledgeable about the subject.
So, bringing up the co-sponsor need, is it still the rule that only the mayor can put something on by himself and everybody else has to get a co-sponsor?
No, that rule changed.
It did? Okay.
We, as a council, but the mayor proposed a change. No. In fact, because we... tried to create more lead time with the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It now takes a minimum of two council members, and it has to be posted the Wednesday. So next Thursday's council meeting had to be posted yesterday by 5 p.m. so that it gives the community enough time to look at the agenda.
Yesterday posted...
by the previous Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Previous Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about 2 days earlier than it used to be when I was covering it.
Right.
Because they said they had to have the agenda out by 5 p.m. Friday or something
right.
like that. Before everybody went home on Friday, they had to get the agenda out.
And even back then...
Even though that's more... I guess... It's more than 72 hours in advance,
right.
but it was the standard they shot for, and they usually made it,
And so now, the only way to post an item after the 5 p.m. Wednesday deadline is it truly has to be an emergency. The old days, we'd post by 5 p.m. on Friday, and Monday and Tuesday, two or three council members would slap some other stuff on there.
Exactly.
So you don't often
do that.
It's then. No. In fact, I don't know that we've done it since we changed the new rules.
When did y'all change it?
Gosh, Ken, I bet it's been 2 years. I really, it was, well, no, it was right after Lee became mayor, so it's been a little over a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, because that was one of his campaigns.
Well, that's a good thing for me to know, as a general policy, because, you know, the rules change and then you lose all the time because you're betting in the wrong place.
Yep.
I'm not a good poker player, so. In fact, I gave it up because, when I was overseas, I was a career Marine, I had 3 unaccompanied tours, and any time I got in card games, it like I always wound up on the if it was Pinochle, partner Pinochle, I did great. But if it was poker, it's like, that's not good.
I love it.
So basically, the next question, I guess, is also obvious. Do you reach any kind of an agreement about where you and other council members stand on the issues? You said a minute ago, yes, you do, but do you reserve the right to change your mind?
I think probably the more appropriate word other than agreement is we reach an understanding.
Oh, okay.
You know, we can't make an agreement,
right?
Except for on the dais. But we can certainly have a level of understanding, and they can know where I'm leaning on an issue. If I have strong feelings one way or another. And I think we do. We try to achieve that level of understanding so that on Thursday, you know, we can minimize the line of questioning and the debate and you know, move forward through the agenda.
So... again, because of everything said before, this probably is redundant. Do the other council members pretty much maintain their positions as expressed in these meetings, or do they sometimes vote differently than you thought you would? I think you already answered that.
Yeah.
You said that you reserve the right to. You know, just on a what kind of percentage, you know, is it rare when people change their vote, or is it,
it is.
Pretty
it,
frequent?
It's rare. I think what's more significant is the issue. So if it happens on a very serious, complicated issue that's hotly debated, that's going to mean more to me than it would on you know, what color we, you know, paint a bridge in a park, you know.
So a hotly debated issue, like what?
Could be a zoning case.
Right.
You know, it could be a
historic preservation.
It could be something like that. It could be you know, a new policy coming down that the city manager you know has worked with us on. I mean, it's so rare that I really can't give direct examples. But for me, what it means something if you're going to make a commitment or make a level of understanding, and then change that at the last minute. I would want my colleagues to know if I were going to do that. I don't think I've done that. I can't say for sure, but I do not think I've ever switched a vote unbeknownst to my colleagues.
This thing's still on again.
There you
okay,
go.
Just picked it up. We had a little blank spot there. Switch my vote. All right. Well, I guess the converse of that is, do other council members sometimes switch their vote? I think you've already spoke to that.
And
talking to people about this, I've heard rumors, and I don't know if this is true or not, that Bill is a wild card. Yeah.
You know, I hesitate to go into that. I am not going to sit here and be critical of my colleagues. They reserve the right to make their decision at the very last second, and I can't take that right away from them.
Right.
So I can say that it has happened, but it doesn't happen often. But I can also say that to those who conduct themselves that way, it does go noticed. You know, as colleagues, we notice that. And it does have an impact on us.
And it does have an impact?
I think it has an impact on, you know, how we handle further experiences down the line.
Okay. Okay. When you get to the council meetings, and you listen to the what the staff and the citizens are saying about the issues, of course you probably already heard all the staff stuff, but the citizens primarily, what they're saying about the issues you've discussed in these meetings. Do you sometimes hear new information that causes you to change your position based on what you learned at the council meetings?
Yeah, I think sometimes we do, but most of the citizens that come down to speak are the same citizens who've requested meetings, you know, leading up to this council meeting. So, you know, typically it's very rare that we would find this shocking revelation that we didn't know about. And in the instances, I think that I remember, we didn't necessarily change our position. In fact, we didn't take a position. What we typically do is postpone the item and drill further down into this new information that was given.
Right, okay. Rather than just settle the hash right there.
Exactly. Well, and rather than just take it as, you know, the gospel, I mean, I certainly don't believe that people come down here to mislead us, but when you have some shocking new revelation that holistically changes your position, I think the appropriate thing to do is get this and take this new set of information, determine whether it truly is what's being presented, and then make your position later on. And so I can remember that every now and then that happening, and what we typically did in those cases was we said, you know what, this is new. I'm not going to vote for or against this today. I'm going to ask you all to help me postpone it. In fact, we just did it on the Holly Power Plant.
Right.
Just did it last week, and I've got to go through that entire accordion folder of documents to try to get to a position by next Thursday.
That's an old one. I was reporting on it back in the day when they kept, they had scheduled way in advance of when it was scheduled to shut down, and then two units, and then they didn't shut them down because, whoops, somebody forgot to arrange for the power to replace those units. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it was. I just thought, how could that happen? You know, they made a commitment years in advance. We're going to shut down two units. I think it was 1997 they were going to shut down two units. And boy, was a burial pissed off over that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, amongst many other things. August 12th, 13. Have you ever had any second thoughts about engaging in these kinds of private meetings among the council members to discuss city business?
Honestly, no. I guess I haven't. I kind of feel like if we weren't able to have these one-on-one meetings as colleagues because of transparency and because the public would want to know, I think it would be a detriment to government. I think it would make government worse. You know, we have to be able to have our differences and work on those differences so that we can come to a position, you know, out in the public realm. I don't know. I just think it's healthier, and that I don't second guess them or have any second thoughts about them.
Okay. Down to the last page here. Have you ever raised the question of whether these kinds of meetings are appropriate? And if so, who answered the question and what they say? It goes back to you inherited this system when you came on the council.
Yeah.
So, you know, did you ever say...
You know what? I never questioned whether they were appropriate, Ken. I did question whether they had any value.
And based on what you said earlier, you've determined that they have. They have value.
They do. But I questioned at certain times whether or not there was value in it.
You mean you still do?
No, I'm trying to understand. No, I have in the past.
I questioned in the past. Okay.
So I'll give you the direct example so that you can understand better what I'm talking about. So it was no secret that Toby and I did not have the best of relationships among city manager and council member.
Okay.
So I literally sent her an email saying, I don't think we need to meet. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to say. You're going to hand me a script, and you're going to tell me to go out on the dais and say this. I mean, it really? Made it made the paper. It made the Statesman.
Yeah.
You can research this this email chain, because I felt like our budget process was a sham that year when I first got on council. I felt like there was a script running around and everybody was going to follow the script. And I literally told the city manager, I don't need to meet with you. I know what's going to happen, and we're all going to get along, and we're all going to say our part, and it's going to be a nice little orchestrated play out there. That was the time that I questioned whether there was any value in having the meeting.
So I take it then when you were hiring Mr. Ott that y'all did you talk about things like that, that we aren't going to do that? I mean,
we talked.
Well,
about,
I mean, you had a better budget process.
We did.
You know, now
that was,
know, he seems to be more public involvement, or starts earlier publicly. You know, God knows how many of those sessions I sat through.
Yep.
Every department trots up and makes a little pony show. And
when we were going through the hiring process, that was part of the line of questioning. How do you envision your budget process? How do you build your budget?
Right.
And so the finalists knew that that was an issue for us as a council, that we really wanted a more transparent a process that started sooner, that people felt like they gave were able to give meaningful input. And I think that's happened. You know, I think we do have a better process, and people have a better understanding of our budget because of that improved process.
Okay. Have you ever refused to participate in these meetings?
No. I mean, I guess you could take that one instance with city managers.
Right.
I mean, I didn't refuse. I just said, we don't need to meet. You know, and there are times when we all cancel meetings because of our schedules, or we try to reschedule meetings.
Oh, sure.
But not refusing to have them.
Right. You know, things come up. You know, families, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
Gets in the way of public business or any other kind of business. Is there anybody else that you've served with on the council who has ever refused to participate in these meetings? I mean, as a matter of habit, you know, as opposed to that schedule conflict.
I can't say that they've refused. I can probably say it was noticeable how many meetings were being canceled, but it wasn't like there was any defiance or refusal to meet. It was just noticeable that, you know, the one-on-ones were frequently not held.
Well, since you've not questioned it, you don't know if anybody else has questioned it. The having these meetings, the value of them, or the appropriateness of them, or whatever. So with that being the case, then I guess my next question is just.
Thanks, sir. Okay, I got it.
Just got a few questions.
No problem.
The next question is moot. Then, have you ever been provided legal guidance about these meetings to indicate whether or not they were appropriate?
Yeah, we actually have. The legal guidance is obviously that you can't have a quorum. Only three of you can meet. The other legal advice that we're given is regarding emails. We can't have an email group with the majority of council in that email group talking about an issue that could potentially become a policy decision at a later date. That's a walking quorum. That's a violation of Open Meetings Act. And we're very cognizant of that. We're very careful about that.
I don't know why I'm nervous about this thing. It's just like,
yeah,
I don't use it often enough. I don't like to use them because it's too much work to transcribe. Okay. So you said something about You have this legal guidance. So
we do.
Was this written guidance, or was it?
We do. We have to go through training every year as council members. We are required by the Ethics Commission to go through training that teaches you about walking quorums and the open meetings rules. Mm-hmm. And we have to watch a video and answer some questions, and we have to go through this certification process. So yes, we do get training on it every year.
And who conducts that?
HR department, our city HR department. They have the DVDs that they bring around, and you have to sign a form that you've taken it.
Oh, just so it's a DVD rather than...
Yeah, like you don't go to a class or anything.
Class, no, okay.
You just watch. You have to watch a video. And
okay. Okay, there's an opinion floating around out there amongst some people. I don't know whether just malcontents or people that just don't trust government. You know, we talked about that earlier. You know, there's a maybe a rising tide of people that are just don't trust anything government does. Don't even see the need for it sometimes. But given that, is it possible that these meetings may be viewed by citizens as somehow being wrong, that you are discussing city business in private instead of allowing the public to hear the issues debated in an open meeting?
I'm sure you'll find somebody that believes that. Do I believe it? No. I mean, we have to work together, and we have to do business. And I mean, part of getting to a sound policy decision is literally brainstorming and throwing ideas out there that may never see the light of day.
Uh-huh.
But with the reactionary things that you see in today's political world, I mean, I think it would be virtually impossible to have all of these meetings open and available to the public, because anything you might say as a proposal, not necessarily as a final product, would be turned into, you know, Twitter, Facebook, talk radio, fodder, blog, you know. So I'm sure there are people that wish that all of our meetings were in public, and that every meeting I had with my staff, anybody could watch, and it would be online. But I don't think that's realistic. And I just think it would be very, very difficult.
So, in that regard, then, the follow-on thought from that question is, have you ever considered that these meetings might violate the spirit, if not the intent, of the Open Meetings Act?
No, I mean, not until, you know, we started talking today. I don't really see what we're doing as an intentional violation of the spirit of the Open Meetings Act. I think we're trying to conduct business. We still have all of our subcommittee meetings and council meetings in public. And a vote isn't a vote until it's taken at that public meeting. So, you know, regardless of what position I may state to a reporter or writer or journalist prior to a meeting, it's meaningless until I vote. And that's the official open record and open discussion and debate to make that decision.
Okay. Well, that was my last question. But I always ask open-ended question. That's all my question. Do you have anything to say that relates to any of this that we've been talking about?
I think it's interesting kind of that this is, you know, now a movement afoot to try to see if we may be doing something inappropriate, or we may need to be more transparent. I do think it's part of that spirit of movement right now that is strongly questioning their government, and that's okay. It's not a bad thing. That's why I agreed to meet with you. I want to.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Not be silent on it.
Okay.
Ken?
That's all I have.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Good seeing you.
Oh, it's great seeing you.
Stay in touch.
Aren't too long. Let me see if I can...